from the studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
Hello. Who are you?
We're back.
Yeah, we're actually here this time too. It's a new year, and we're back on the radio.
Back live and in color.
Well, I don't know how colorful we are, but yeah, we're live.
Well, we're colorful enough to keep our mature rating.
Well, if that's what you call colorful, yeah.
Exactly. Anyways, we're back on our new day now, by the way, which would be Saturday, 1 p.m. That's due to work issues because, you know, we've got to pay the bills. A lot of people decide that they want to advertise with us and make our lives better. Appreciate to all those people that tuned in to the best of Caribbean radio programs and stayed with us and the emails. We do greatly appreciate the listenership, and hope everybody had a really good Christmas and a safe New Year, by the way.
That's right. I've got to change our website because it still says our show was on Monday, and I forgot to change that. I've got to do that.
Well, things are new. A lot of things are going on, and we got plans coming up this year for the program as well. We'll try to keep it as exciting and entertaining as possible, and of course, my goal is always to keep Cliff and Stitches.
Really? Why not? I got to watch those Stitches, I'll tell you.
Exactly. We got a lot to talk about today, of course, as we're trying to catch up. Got some general news to talk about. There's a whole bunch of new laws going into effect this year, some of them, of course. Like, Cliff, what's your theory on what new laws should be?
I think, I don't mind new laws. I just think that we should start from scratch every year. We should eliminate all laws, take them all off every year, and then start with new. And if we want to renew them, one of the same old ones, we can do that. If we want to just put new ones in, we can do that. But we've got to do something about getting them expunged from the laws. We've got so many laws that we don't even remember what we've got on the laws, on the books.
Well, I agree with that. Some of them, I don't know. You just have to shake your head sometimes and just kind of go, what are these guys thinking of?
Well, that's the thing. They don't know. Some of the things they have as laws or put on there as new laws may have good reason to be there, but they don't know if they're there or not. They may already be there. There may be something that addresses the same issue and disagrees with them that's already a law, and we don't know that because we don't bother to look. And so we need to go through and just expunge everything, just as, you know, with a swipe of the pen, say, okay, all laws are now void, and then just start over.
Yeah, or at least come up for review and everything and just kind of go, okay, this law here has been on the books. Should we expunge the law that requires in the city of Eugene for people to walk behind the vehicle carrying red lanterns?
I could go on and on about that. What are the red lanterns for?
Well, it's kind of a, I don't know if it's still there. I just remember this from a couple of years back, that it's one of those weird laws that's still on the books that, they're still there. I mean, they could be enforced if they wanted to be.
No. I think they should be taken off. You should just, with a swift thing of the pen, just take them all off and make them not exist anymore. And then if you want them back on, you could have to pass a law. You'd have to pass a thing to put them back on. I think they should also, every law should be put up for public vote. I mean, we should have no laws that are not on there that are put on there by some person who thinks they know better than I do.
Exactly. And also change the thing where it says for the people, by the people should be added, and if it affects the people have a say in it. So anyways, we're going to talk a little bit about that and opinions on Mitt Romney in the news about his son saying that he was kind of a reluctant candidate. I'd like to, well, we'll discuss that a little bit more in detail. Plus, your phone calls, by the way, as we get back in the habit. Again, you can call us at 646-721-9887. The chat room is open right now. A little bit behind on my job by not putting a description for the show today, but you're just going to have to tune in to find out what we're talking about. So there.
Yeah, we're going to tune in to find out what we're talking about.
Exactly. And
if I sound like I can't talk, it's because I got this delay in the radio, the microphone or something. It's weird. It's very difficult to talk.
Yeah, it's like I don't have the monitor set up. When I have the monitor set up, so I can hear what's going out. But I'm back in the main studio, so hopefully things are going to be better as well too. Which is kind of nice having more monitors and the glass and all the fun stuff.
Four monitors.
Well, five if you want to count the smartphone. And anyway, 646-721-9887. As always, if you're listening to us on the archives, your emails are welcome. talk@krbnradio.com. And as we were talking a little bit earlier about money and fun stuff, I'm going to throw a quick commercial in there. And this is from Dancing Dog Cookies. Be sure to check them out, www.dancingdogcookies.com. They're available in select stores in Lane County and online.
Good dog, Skippy. Yes, Skippy is a very good dog, and I always enjoy working with him and like to reward him for a great performance. However, I am always hesitant and very selective in the types of treats that I will give him because I worry about his health and only want to give him something that's really good for him. That's why I always reward him with Dancing Dog Cookies, because they are handmade to order from all natural ingredients and preservative-free. Plus, they come in a wide variety of styles and flavors. Skippy loves them, and I'm sure you will too, so check them out at www.dancingdogcookies.com.
And I'm waiting for Cliff to say page two.
Well, I'm trying to figure out. I'm hearing a beep, beep, and I don't know what it is.
Oh. Well, don't worry. That was me.
Oh. Okay. Whatever's there.
That's right. I can beep and poop in public if I want to. Anyway, Dancing Dog Cookies. Check them out. Tom and Kathy do a really good job. They're all handmade. And dancingdogcookies.com. And us, 646-721-9887. We're back again from a little break. And we'd like you to break your telephone and give us a call at that phone number, 646-721-9887, and tell us what's on your mind. Keep it clean. And
also, you might mention whether or not you appreciate us being on Saturdays instead of Mondays for a change. Is it good? Is it bad? Is it indifferent? Who cares? Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, you are part of the reason why we do this. Not you, Cliff, but, I mean, you, the audience.
Well, me too.
Yeah, you too.
Anyway, yeah, because that's the thing. We've thought about, well, we've kicked around what day we should be doing this a lot. I mean, not just a couple of times, but we've talked about it a lot. And there are many reasons for deciding what we do and when we do it. In this particular instance, it has to do with employment, but there are still other times that we could possibly do something. We could do it at 5 o'clock in the morning. Who knows?
Oh, that'd go good. Live without my coffee. It's Cliff and Robin.
Well, you can have your coffee. I mean, you can build coffee at 5 o'clock in the morning, can't you?
But I'll tell you one thing. Say you have a face for radio at 5 o'clock in the morning. I got a face for radio.
well, that's okay, because you can be sure. Don't bother with mine. It looks just good.
Okay, and you're cutting out just a little bit. Of course, I don't have the monitor set, so I don't know if it's you or me or whatever. Anything to get the monitor set.
Well, I don't know what's going on. That's what I say. It's this thing coming back at me. I don't know what's happening.
Well, I will do multitasking while we are multitasking.
Okay. You know, this is interesting. They're talking about Lance Armstrong. Why are they bringing Lance Armstrong up again? They're just going on and on and on about Lance Armstrong. Let the poor man do his thing. They've already taken everything away from him they can take away. They've you know, tried to take away his prizes. They've tried to take away his trophies. They've tried to take away everything else. And yet they're still talking about Lance Armstrong. So, you know, put him to bed. Put him to sleep. Well,
for people that are not following the issue, you want to give a quick summary of what's going on?
Well, I don't know. Lance Armstrong did his thing, and he was supposedly doping. He was taking things to make him stronger, and he didn't admit to it. He had said he didn't, and now they've decided he did. And now I guess he himself is confessing that he did. But, you know, they've already, it's too late to worry about it. They've already taken away his trophies. They've already taken away everything that had to do with him doping and things. You know, they are looking to some of the other people who are talking about maybe having done it and not admitting to it yet. So maybe they should just, you know, maybe they should just say to hell with it. And you can do anything you want to. You know, you're going to do that anyway, so why not make it legal? So you can do anything you want to. That way, if anybody wants to take certain drugs that make them do things better, they can do that. And if the other guys don't want to do that, they don't have to. But if they want to keep up and do as good as the other guys, they'll have to do it too. So it puts together a whole new industry.
Of doing it or not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I don't. You know, the thing is, you can't stop people. You know, once you realize, okay, they can make it really hard on them, like they're doing with Lance Armstrong, because they're going in and yelling about him doing things, and they're taking away his stuff retroactive to having done it, which I don't. Well. I don't know how I feel about that, because I don't think you should be taking things away retroactively. I mean, if he's, you know, I don't know if it. I'm not sure what I think about that, to be honest with you. I haven't drugged that around in my mind enough to know. That's.
Well, I kind of agree with you there. I mean, if the like anything, if the trophy. Or the prize you just won was from cheating, then okay, let the next person in line get it. But to go back on previous trophies without any proof that cheating was done, then I'd say no.
Let's take a look at what is cheating, because is this cheating? As far as I'm concerned, if you're taking a drug that makes you stronger. That's I don't know that I consider that cheating.
Yeah, but like you said, how far back do you want to go? I mean, somebody could be. I'm just going to throw some numbers out here. Let's say you've been competing for over 10 years, and the last year you decided to cheat by using performance enhancing drugs or whatever, but. The other 9 years have been totally legit. Should you lose everything?
Well, I disagree that you should lose anything at all. I think they should make the performance-enhancing drugs still. I mean, they somebody went to the difficulty of inventing them. Let them use them.
Well, I don't know. Like I said, I don't know that much about it to really make an intelligent.
Well, the point is, I suppose that they are damaging to your health. But if they're damaging to your health, if you want to destroy your health, if you want to kill yourself, so being better than everybody else, then that's fine. You should.
I don't think you should be against the law for you to kill yourself.
Well, that's just like saying that you're going to go ahead and. Down a whole bunch of candy bars to get a sugar high before you run because, you know, having a lot of sugar in your system can, you know, give you extra temporary energy or something. I don't know.
Yeah. They don't know how long he's been doing this. And then you have, like you say, after this, is what is the enhancement drug? I mean, sugar has enhancement. Maybe that should be against the law.
Yeah, I was just kind of listening. I got the monitor going in the background and just looking to which side is cutting out. It's the fun stuff, people. Live shows. Speaking of live shows, 646-721-9887. We are live right now. You can join us in myriads of ways. About anything you want to. We've been known to take a left turn on topics.
Sure. Absolutely. Anything is open.
Exactly.
If you have something that's better than we're doing.
Before we get into, we're also trying to get back into the realm of things, and especially getting the, it is nice being back in the main studio. It's just taking a little bit to get everything back organized again. But on the other side of the coin, it's kind of nice to know, too, that we finally got things working better for remotes, and so we can take the Caribbean mobile out. AKA motorhome, and do remotes, which maybe this summer, depending on the rain god, we might consider doing. And so watch out, look out for the Caribbean mobiles. You could tell it by the 5x8 sheet on the back window. It's Caribbean, but
or with four monitors sticking out inside.
Exactly. But now we do have T-shirts coming by the way, pretty soon.
We do.
T-shirts, baseball hats, and mugs. They're in the works. They are coming. Support the program by giving us money. I want to touch on some new laws, but first I want to just an opinion about Mitt Romney's son came out recently and basically said that, of course, Mitt and Tag, his name is Tag, T-A-G-G, anyway, saying that Mitt's family had to convince him to take a bid for the presidency because he was reluctant to run again after failing to secure his party nomination in 2008. Cliff and I were talking about this before the program and, the reasons why he was doing it. But my initial reaction when I heard that was he didn't really want to run. Why did you?
Because his father did. Because he felt it was his responsibility to do something for his country. He had the thought in his mind that he was doing something for his country. I think it was very very admirable of him to decide to run, because it certainly wasn't for money. I mean, he had plenty of money, plus the fact that, let's face it, it cost him a lot of money to run. So I believe, in my opinion, he had every reason to run. The fact that other people didn't seem to agree with him, he got 44% of the vote or something like that. He didn't lose by very much. And consequently, it was a whole thing that he did to. It was strictly his. Well, he did do a thing for his state. I don't know.
Well, it's just like, and this is the Reuters report, quoting Tag Romney saying that he wanted to be Mitt Romney wanted to be president less than anyone else I met in my life. He said that if he could have found someone else to take his place, he would have been ecstatic to step aside. Well, if that was the case, like I said, it's noble to really want to do it and recognize that the country needs a change. But, there were other candidates that were really felt the same way and wanted to in their hearts, get in there, like Newt Gingrich, for example.
Yeah, I believe if he'd have stepped aside and let Newt Gingrich get in there and do it, he would have had a better chance of winning. But who knows? you know, the only thing that I can say about this, I think he did a good thing for trying. The only thing is, he did a bad thing in that he thought he was the only one that could do it. And that's, I think, is wrong. He could have stepped aside and given his money to somebody else and giving the money he had spent on all of his things to someone else to do it. But at this particular point, I don't know that we were going to beat, because it'd be pretty hard. It was pretty hard to try to beat somebody who was already in the office. And I really don't think it makes any difference at this particular point myself. I really feel that we're going to watch Obama, just Obama himself, clear out of the picture.
Well, yeah, I kind of agree with that. But now there's nothing stopping Obama, so to speak. But, you know, the people have spoken.
I think we're going to find out there's a lot more stopping Obama than Obama thinks. He's not free and clear. He's not available to just do any old thing he wants to. We still do have a Republican-based House of Representatives, and I think they're going to do something to keep him in line. And the thing is, I'm not going to say again how much damage can he do, because we already know that he can do a hell of a lot. But we still only got 4 years to go, and something's going to change.
Yeah, but the biggest fear, and I've been saying this for over a year now, is the Obamacare and what it's really going to cost Americans, especially people that are self-employed or are just starting a business. And like I say, Obamacare does not mean free healthcare.
If people are stupid enough to still believe that, if people are stupid enough to believe that it's going to help them, and they're stupid enough not to have voted for Romney because of that, then that's their fault.
Well, there are still people, and I still talk to people in my rounds that feel that when Obamacare goes into full effect in, was it 2014 or 2016, I can't remember which off the top of my head, that they're not going to have to worry about getting health care because it will be provided for them. No, the only way it will be provided for them is if you are under the poverty level and qualify for Medicare or welfare. Otherwise, when it goes into full effect, if you do not have, and here's the key word, qualifying health care, you can be fined up to a maximum of $2,100.
Well, so it's going to be provided for you for $2,100.
No, you won't get anything for $2,100.
Yes, you will.
What? You'll be out $2,100.
Obamacare. You're going to get it because it's going to be provided for you. You have to buy it. And so they're going to give it to you for $2,100. I mean, you're going to pay for it no matter whether you like it or not.
The $2,100 is just a fine for not having health insurance.
Okay, so it's more than that.
It's going to cost you more for health insurance, because health insurance is not cheap. And like I said, it has to be qualifying health insurance, unless, of course, you are extremely poor. Now, one of the catch-22s is let's say that you're working a job and you have employer-provided health care. Now, let's say around June or so, you get laid off, fired, or whatever reason, you know, you're terminated from the position. And in this wonderful economy, which, by the way, they're still starting to now say, oh, maybe we're still in a recession, like you think, that you can't find another job. Well, according to the amount of money that you made, you don't qualify for, you know, the low income where, you know, you could be part of the Obamacare situation. But you don't have health insurance because unemployment doesn't pay that much. And so most people can't carry COBRA or any other type of insurance. Now you don't have, at the time of your taxes, I don't know if there's a gap or a timeline that they're going to allow, but at the time of your taxes, you don't have qualifying health care. Now, in addition to having to pay taxes on your unemployment, you now have to pay the penalty for not having health care.
Okay. It's all Greek to me. That's all I'm going to say. I haven't looked into it. I haven't bothered to look into it because I'm one of the one that's one of the people that's poor enough. I get it for free, no matter what. So I'm it may change somewhat because of this, but I really think that it's going to be figured out by the end of this 4-year term. They'll change their minds.
Well, I think as it does get more implemented and, you know, as it starts hitting people's pocket, that maybe there will be kind of more of an uproar going, ah, wait a minute.
Well, see, the whole thing has may become a moot point because it may be that we are in a recession or worse. Maybe going to end up very soon in a depression. And it's very close because it's not just us that's got this problem. It's every country in the world. Every country in the world. There are only about 4 or 5 countries in the entire world that aren't hurting. And they're people who have already had the problem and have stepped out of it a little bit. But everybody in the world is depressed somewhere or another. And I think it's going to get worse is what it's going to do.
Well, I don't know. I mean, every 2-3 months we hear about the collapse of the government. We won't be able to pay our bills because we can't vote on a budget or can't get a budget going on. Now we got this fiscal cliff thing going, and I hate to say it, I'm just like a lot of other people. I'm tired of hearing it. You know, our government can't do their own budget, but you know, you and I have to.
Well, this fiscal cliff thing they've allowed to happen. All this is a way to allow the whole thing. See, certain parts of this are going to actually cost some people a lot of money. And what's happening, there's a lot of things that are being cut. Defense, for one. Defense Department spending is going to be cut by a huge amount. And they had to do it this way because the American people have this thing. They don't want to cut defense. They don't, regardless of why they should cut it, or regardless of the fact that it's way too big, there's way too much money being spent in that particular department, they still don't want to cut it because they're afraid of it, what happens if they do. But this is going to make some of the cuts absolutely mandatory. And I think this is just a way of changing the entire fiscal problem and then starting it afresh.
Well, so. Sometimes, like they say, too, in order to fix a problem, you have to crash.
Yeah, and I think we're about ready to do that, and that's fine. I mean, it's, you know, I hate to say this, but we talk about how much money we make and how much money we don't make. The amount of money and whether we're in a depression or not, a recession or not, is changing because I think we're closer to being normal now than we have been for years. And whether we like it or not, that's the way we're going to live. And I think that's the way it's going to be from now on. Our federal government has been spending way too much money. And, well, what I want to say is that Obama is going to try to do that, and he's probably going to continue to do that, but he's only got 4 more years to screw it up. And then we'll hopefully consider putting someone in there who has more of a grasp on what the hell he's doing.
Well, and maybe we should also look at, too, that just because you're the president of the United States does not make you a rock star. And maybe it'd be also nice to have somebody that's traveled more so they've got that out of their system.
Well, I don't know. I think Obama is finally realizing that he's not a rock star. And I think he's going to be a lot more progressive than he has been, a lot more cooperative than he has been before. But now the problem that we have is the Republicans have decided to get on their hind feet and bite back. And it's the wrong time to do that, I think. We should probably sit back and kind of accept what's going on and try to push it over an edge somewhere instead of just chop off his head.
Well, the thing is, it's kind of a misnomer, is that, you know, I believe that as we're talking about Obama and we're talking about the federal government, when people go into any type of government service, you know, meaning, you know, state, federal, local, that I'd like to think that the majority of the people go in there with all good intention. You know, they, you know, to help bolster the economy and their local regions, et cetera, et cetera. Unfortunately, like as far as D.C. is concerned, a lot of people go in there and they come out, they go in there paupers and come out millionaires. And based on some of the stuff that they pass, like the laws and other issues, which sometimes seems very self-serving.
I agree. I believe we should, again, there are certain rules that we need to make a change to. One is how long they can stay in there. Stay in for one or maybe two terms and make the terms small so that however long they stay in there, it can't be forever in order to change their entire monetary status. They should be able to not go in and come back. I don't mind if they go in and come back a little bit richer, but some of these people go in there and just spend years and years and years and make their entire lifetime that particular office, and that's wrong as far as I'm concerned. We need to change that. And then consequently, if they can find a way to make some money off of it, fine. But no, that should not be the thing that they can do. We find some way to keep them from doing that.
Well, maybe that's the whole point about term limits.
Yeah, I agree. And again, we shouldn't have people in there for long periods of time. There's good things about it and there's bad things about it, but very seldom does the good things. I mean, some 90-year-old dude in there that's still trying to dodder his way through whatever, it just isn't doing anything for me. I want to see new blood in there. And we have a limitation on how young they can be when they go for particular offices, and we must have had some reasoning behind that. And so we should have a limit on how old they can be in there, too.
Well, I agree, because it was not designed to be a career, for one thing.
Well, I still have this. I read the story about how it's in a school, but if you were nominated for a job, for a position in the school government, and they had an election, and you won the election, whether you liked it or not, you had to serve. Now, it was only one term, and you had to serve, but you had to serve. So I believe we should do that. People people should be required to serve who are just regular people, so we can have something accomplished in the business of doing so. I mean, this whole bit of not just going in there to make money would be eliminated then. If you were in there just to get something done and get the hell out, that would be a different story. And I'd rather have them that way. I'd rather have somebody in there just doing the job and then, you know, 2, 3, 4 years, whatever it is, just trying to get out of there and turn it over to somebody else. We got an awful lot of people in this country that could be in there. And we shouldn't be limiting it to just people with money. I mean, as it is, nobody who runs for office usually has money already. I mean, they're not poor already. You can't run for office and be poor. It just can't be done.
Well, I agree with you, and that's why I was saying take the money out of it and go back to the original conception. Because people that are making, I mean, whether they're in office or not, if you are making, say, $100,000 a year and you've been doing that for quite a while, even if you came from a background of being a pauper, so to say, like $20,000 a year, it's easy to forget where you came from. I guess what I'm saying is like, well, there was a time that I made fair money. At a point that if I needed tires for my car, all I had to do was just go down and buy them. Now, if I need tires for my car, it's like, okay, well, let's see, I need to save up for 3 months to be able to get enough money to get $400 to be able to do this. And you see where I'm going with that?
I do see where you're going with that, and I agree. And the thing is, so our opinion of what is a lot of money and other people's opinion of what is a lot of money is a lot different. I mean, Mitt Romney, to him, what was a lot of money certainly wasn't $400 for tires. You know, what was a lot of money for him was thousands and thousands of dollars. And even then, I mean, the man was rich. The guy has, I don't think he was a billionaire, but he was pretty close to it. If he wasn't, maybe he was. But money didn't mean anything to him. That was not why he was running. And the thing is, you know, a lot of people were not running because of the money. The thing is, we've got to come up with some, different way of thinking for the Republican Party. We've got to come up with a different way of putting things together. Their ideas and ideals were not quite up to par. And that's the thing we've got to change. And I think that's one of the things that is going to change in this particular, well, during this particular period of time when we're sitting around doing nothing. We got 3 years to come up with ideas and come up with philosophies, and then we're going to start this whole thing all over again.
God. And like I've said before, is that we need to learn from the past and hold these people up to higher standards. Unfortunately, I'm not as disappointed in Oregon this election, but unfortunately, like I've always called Obama, he's a good used car salesman. He knows how to work an audience, and he knows how to tell people what they want to hear. And they fell for it. And as I can't remember who you termed the technology or the terminology, but you can't vote against Santa Claus.
Well, this whole thing, we're blaming the people. We're blaming Obama for doing this. To be honest with you, this is not true. The media. The media 4 years ago was the one who gave everybody this impression of what Obama is or isn't. Obama simply played on it again for this particular election. But his opinion, or people's opinion of him, was made 4 years ago. And it was the media at that time that particularly put him in that position, because the media couldn't say anything bad about Obama 4 years ago. And now they've changed their mind. But we did it to ourselves. And we've got to live with it for another 4 years. Oh, God.
Well, I agree with you. I agree with you that, you know, just like, I want my free Obama phone.
Yeah.
Well, they did it. Anyway, speaking of doing it, 646-721-9887 if you'd like to chime in on this or any other topic. And, again, if you're listening to us on the archives, send us an email, talk@krbnradio.com, especially if you want to, you know, let us know how your New Year's were. Hopefully it was safe. And if you have any ideas or comments, you know, for upcoming programs, and especially let us know what you think about the Saturday programs. And, does Saturday work better for you? Does time slot work better? You know, or any feedback that you have, except for, you know, guys, give it up and don't do the show anymore.
You can tell us that. Doesn't mean we can listen to you.
That's right. We'll be back.
My microphone is doing its thing again.
Yeah, it's just like the CB noise canceling microphone didn't work because you could still hear them.
Really?
But we got 50 minutes remaining in the program. And I wanted to kind of change gears here and talk about some of the new laws. One that I got a list of laws from Oregon and from other states that I wanted to kind of mention, but one of them that kind of bugs me a little bit, and in fact, I didn't hear about this in the local news, but, you know, I found it in doing my homework for today's program. And if you're like me, I'm in my mid-50s, and I've been a motorcycle rider way before, probably got on my first motorcycle, I think, when I was 12. And so I've been riding for a long time, and anywhere from the little bikes up to the cruisers, you know, like the Goldwings and whatever. But I was one of those lucky ones. You know, I got to learn how to ride a motorcycle off-road and how to handle them in different conditions. which is a good way to learn. But Oregon's making some changes in the motorcycle endorsement, which I'm not totally against. I'm not against rider education courses. What I am against is what Oregon is trying to do. And now, on their website, oregon.gov/o/DMV, just look it up, too. Just look up Oregon DMV and under motorcycle endorsements. They're calling it Team Oregon. I don't know if that's a private company or who that is, but it's the only approved motorcycle rider education courses. And they're not saying if you already have an endorsement or not, if this is going to be a requirement, but they're saying that if you apply for, well, I guess it is, if you apply for an original motorcycle endorsement on or after January 12th or January 1st, 2013, you must successfully complete a rider course if you're under 51. After January 1st, 2015, any age if you are an original. And I guess the thinking is that a lot of people are getting motorcycles because of the high price of fuel and whatever. And, of course, the governments, both federal and state, are complaining about the lack of revenue that the high mileage cars are generating, and that's a different topic for the GPS on your vehicle road mileage tax. But that's just one of the things that, again, I can see. I got no problem against the rider education requirements. I just
again, a problem is the fact that people don't consider a motorcycle a vehicle, and yet they're riding it on the highways. They're riding it in various different places. If they use a motorcycle out in the climbing hills and using it on dirt trails and things like that, that's one thing. But people are riding them more and more on the highway, mostly because, let's face it, it's cheaper in gas. God, you save a lot of money in gasoline when you do that. But people don't consider it as important to know the rules and regulations and follow the rules and regulations. And I believe we need to get just as carried away with those rules as we do with any other car, any car, period, any mode of vehicle, any mode of operation.
Exactly. I don't know. Maybe it's just the whole thing about just more requirements, you know, getting into the new laws that go into effect. And speaking of, I got a few on my list here. Illinois, for example, has got some good ones out here. And they got one on top of my list, which they're calling the skin tax. That's S-K-I-N.
Skin tax?
Skin tax. Not syntax, skin tax. And no, they're not taxing your skin.
I thought maybe they were putting a tax if you took your clothes off or something.
Now you're on the right track. It says, under the law, and this was approved by Illinois Governor Pat Quinn, under the law, strip club operators will either pay a charge on their income on a tiered basis or charge their customers $3 apiece. Revenue is expected to make about $1 million annually and will go against the sexual assault services or go to the sexual assault services and prevention fund.
Okay, that's a different story. I was thinking about in public. If they're in private and they're inside a strip club or any club and they're bearing themselves, that's their problem. That's their privilege. And I don't think they should have a tax on it just because that's what they're doing.
Exactly. And they say customers will be charged $3 a piece. A piece for what? Hey, never mind.
That's good. Never mind. No, if that's a possibility, a $3, but it should be everybody in every club, and whether they're for strip clubs or not, there should be that charge, and that would raise a lot of money.
Yeah, that's one of those catch-22s, like cigarettes and stuff. You know, they're it's a sin tax. They want you to pay for the sin, but not do the sin, and then they'll complain that they're not generating enough revenue.
Well, at least I'd rather have them paying for that sin than paying for an automobile tax that everybody has to do, poor people alike. I mean, nobody has to go to whether it's a sex club or just a club, nobody has to go there. And so consequently, they don't have to pay that tax or that fee. And consequently, it's not a probability of hurting people who don't have money. But these laws that they pass about cars and about what they can do with cars and what they have to do with cars and people on the highway, that's a different story. You got to be a little bit more careful about those, because there are an awful lot of people who don't have any money yet have to have a car to get back and forth to work to have any money at all, and yet they still stick taxes on them, and that's a bad news.
Well, and also that's a good lead in, and still picking on Illinois. Here's one. Under certain conditions, inline skaters in Illinois will now need to follow the same rules of the road as bicyclists and motorcyclists. That means that they'll be allowed to skate on the road rather than being forced to the sidewalks. And, of course, my question on that is, where are they going to put the lights?
What lights?
Well, if they have to follow the same laws as bicycles and motorists, where are they going to put the lights and reflectors?
You mean like stoplights and things like that?
Never mind. Meow. But...
Okay, well, I agree with you, but you know, if we want to do that, inline skates, I don't. You can't control those like you can a vehicle. You can't control those. I don't believe bicycles and such should be out on the highways either. You just can't control them like you can a car. And when it comes up to, you know, you whether it's you or the car, when you're trying to do something and making a car wait for you, they don't have to do that. They can just run over you. And we need to change our opinions on how we should enforce the laws. We need to, maybe we should just, we're putting together bike paths and walking paths and things like that. Maybe we should stick to having those and not on the highways.
Now, the next thing they'll be talking about, mandatory insurance for inline skaters. Also, again, picking on Illinois for a little bit. Apparently, they must have a real bad problem with motorcycles popping wheelies, because now you can be fined $1,000 if you're caught.
I think I have to be quiet about that, because I don't believe you should be driving motorcycles. Again, they should be for, you know, climbing hills and going on dirt roads and things like that. We shouldn't have motorcycles on the highway.
Okay.
period. Just shouldn't have them on the highway. In fact, I think motorcycles, anything above, 50 cc's or 100 cc's, shouldn't be allowed to be built.
Well, for off-road use, yeah, are learning, but minimum standards, because the motorcycle needs to have enough power to stay with
traffic. No, they don't. They shouldn't be with traffic. For off-road use, that's all they should be for.
Well, yeah, off-road use, but I'm talking about like, like the bigger bikes, 1,000 cc.
No, enough. There should not be bigger bikes. Bigger bikes should be restricted to off-road use. All motorcycles should be restricted to off-road use.
So apparently you're not much on motorcycles.
No, I'm not. What good does it do you? You save some money, you know. But it's just not big enough to be safe. There's no matter how good you are, no matter how safe you try to be, you can't be safe. You're going to lose if you're getting in tangling with a car. Anytime you go up against a car, you're going to lose. The motorcycle's going to lose, no matter what.
Well, that's true. No argument there. It is dangerous.
So that's why they should be kept on the off-road positions. They should be kept off the main highways. In other words, if you can't possibly win, you shouldn't possibly be out there.
Well, you could say the same for cars, too.
No, because if you're in a car, you have just as much chance of winning when it hit another car. But you have no chance if you hit them with a bicycle or a motorcycle.
Well, I mean, again, it depends on what you're going up against. If you're a car going up against a semi, if you're a semi going up against a tree.
Okay, we'll get into that later, because I don't think semis should be there either.
Yeah, I know.
As far as far as trees are concerned, we don't have trees in the highway.
I hope not.
Well, then that's a moot point. But as far as the semis are concerned, we should have separate roads for them or not have them there at all. I mean, there are lots and lots of ways of getting around having these big, giant semi-trucks out there. We could have railroads. That's what we have railroads for. We should have railroads moving all that stuff and having smaller trucks moving it from point A to point B to get it to the doors, to the stores and places like that. But we don't need to have these gigantic, gargantuan, huge trucks out there on the highways.
Well, we'll see what our listener says. We have a phone call coming in, so Skype caller, welcome to the program. You're on the air. Hello, you're on the air. You're off the air now. Okay. Anyway, 646-721-9887 if you want to find me or anything else. Stephanie, this thing that you're listening to now. We got a little bit of traffic in the chat room. Again, welcome, buddy.
Well, you know, getting back to this trucks thing, we have more as many trucks now on the highways as we do automobiles, just about. So consequently, we should change our highway system and have certain highways or certain lanes that are specifically for trucks. But I think we should have certain highways that are for trucks. Our highways wouldn't have to be half as big if we had that were just for cars. And then we could build separate highways for trucks.
Well, and how you pay for that. Okay, we're going to try the caller again. Welcome, caller. You're on the air.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, what's happening?
I don't know. I forgot what I called for. I like bacon.
You like what? Bacon? I like bacon, too.
Yeah, he just called to let us know that he likes bacon. That's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm all for that. Bacon bacon should be allowed in every meal.
Well, yeah. Of course, I don't know if it's allowed in the White House.
Why?
Michelle Obama, you know, they're already putting a limitation on how many calories can be in a candy bar, for one.
Oh, really? I hadn't heard that one yet.
Yeah.
How many calories can be in a candy bar? Okay.
And I don't have it in front of me, but even the Domino's and other places that sell pizza were saying that it's going to cost them thousands of dollars per store because now they have to list the ingredients and the calorie ingredients for every various type of pizza that they could have.
Well, you know, I don't find that problem. That's something we've been doing that on cans of food and various different kinds of food for a long time. And this is, I mean, once they've written it out and then written it down someplace and then put it on a label, that doesn't cost them that much money.
Well, you take a huge franchise. It's just more stuff they have to deal with. And if you have, say, 2,000 varieties of pizza, well, that's at least 2,000 per store you got to come up with.
Well, they shouldn't have 2,000 varieties of your pizza. What can you have 2,000 varieties? I mean, you know, that doesn't... Well, there are ways that they can do it that isn't going to cost them that much money.
I'd like it with bacon, without bacon.
Right. I mean, you can put and you can have a little thing with bacon on it and show how many calories of bacon adds to a pizza, and then have it up there as general knowledge. You don't have to have it available for each individual pizza. You don't have to have it on the box or anything.
Well, not on the box, but displayed in the store. Like, say, for example, you want half and half, half with bacon, half without bacon. You want half with mushrooms, half without mushrooms. You want 5 pieces of bacon or 15 pieces of bacon.
So you just put down how much a piece of bacon is, and then you can add it up for yourself. If you want bacon with 15 pieces on it, 15 pieces is 25 calories a piece, and they have to add it up themselves.
Exactly.
I know. I agree. The idea that what I dislike about this whole thing is that Obama, Michelle Obama, is involved in it all. She is the president's wife. She is not a member of any kind of governmental organization. She is not a part of the government, and she should be not be making any decisions whatsoever. She should be just advising, not even advising. She should keep her goddamn mouth shut. Period.
Well, I'm not going to comment on that, but I will let the caller give it a shot, though. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, my name is Shanetta Quisha. How you doing, girl? Woo!
Turn it off. We don't accept calls like that.
Okay. Anyways, where were we at? Oh, yeah, strange and weird laws. Like, get my screen back.
People decided to come on and fake us out. It's dumb. And nobody's going to believe that.
Especially when it's about bacon. Other stuff. Oregon, of course, has increased their minimum wage by a whopping 15%, which means your goods and services are going to go up about 15 cents. Unfortunately, that hopefully does not throw them in another tax bracket, which costs everybody more money.
Well, you know, this whole thing of increasing minimum wage, I'm going to have to talk.
Yeah, it's starting to cut out a little bit. But again, in the meantime, 646-721-9887. Again, you can always send an email, talk@krbnradio.com, if you are listening to us on the archives, or if you have something to say. And let's see. Yeah, check them out here because they're saying that there's an echo. There we go. The monitor is a 15-second delay, so I had to wait for it to catch up. And as Cliff is rebooting his computer, because we are back in the main studio today, and Cliff's at the remote location, so we're trying to get things back going again. 646-721-9887. Got a caller in. We'll try it one more time. Caller, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Okay, you're on the air. Are you there?
Yes, sir, I'm here. Yeah. Do you like big fat penis?
Penis?
Like
penis.
What?
Penis. Sir.
Just go hang.
Yeah, I did. Okay, we'll try one more. This is area code 269. Welcome to the program.
Am I on?
You're on. Welcome to the program.
Dude, I totally think they should have highways made for transporting marijuana. I mean, that'd be the funnest thing ever, man.
So a highway marijuana.
Throw it off. Shit, man. 2020 blaze.
Okay. And it sounds like he's already tested it out, and it's gonna be one of those days. Oh, it did say any topic. So we got bacon and marijuana and people wanting to know about the size of their penises. So. For everybody else, 646-721-9887. Cliff, are you back yet? All right, Cliff is still out there. 646-721-9887. If you're calling about people's penises or marijuana or whatever, like I say, it's good to have fun, but let's try to keep it somewhat serious out there. So 646-721-9887. A lot of things about different laws that come through. There's one if you're traveling through Oregon, by the way, that and you're bringing in firewood from outside the state. Well, they're going to be talking to you because some new rules have gone into effect that now you have to have qualifying firewood, basically for firewood that's been treated at 140 degrees for 1 hour to kill all pests inside of it. That's part of the Invasive Species Pet and Diseases Act that the Oregon's doing, because we don't want to follow through with California and have and have, of course, all the bad stuff coming through. Pretty soon, there'll be, just like with California, you'll be going through an inspection area and going, do you have any oranges that are not legal? You don't want to have illegal oranges out there. Hang on just one moment, please. See if we can get Cliff back on the line here. Please stand by as we're dialing in. For everybody else, 646-721-9887. Let's try and get Cliff back on and see what other laws we got going on here. Anti-bullying laws for schools is taking effect. More things for teachers to try and provide miracles. Portland, by the way, Portland, Oregon, has a new arts tax that's going into effect. And which is kind of interesting is that it's going to be $35 per year. Okay, I'm back. A little technical difficulty there. New version of Skype, don't like it. Let's see if we can get Cliff back online here.
Hello there.
Hello there. Yeah, this new updated version of Skype is just doesn't work as well as the old one as far as going back to conference.
Well, interestingly enough, I had trouble getting out of it, so whatever. But we're back.
We are back. And got a couple callers in the queue that again, we'll go ahead and give you a try. But if you're talking about penises, marijuana, or, well, bacon will allow. But, you know, just to let you know up front that if you're calling about those issues, that we are going to disconnect. So we'll go ahead and try the first one. Skype caller, welcome to the program.
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air.
You got dick in your butt.
I think we better give up on callers at the moment because this is a group of people we're not interested in.
I agree.
They're not in school today, so.
Anyways, I'm trying to get things back in line here. We're talking about weird laws that are going to affect. And in the chat room, if anybody else would like to, is there any weird laws or anything going to affect in the states that you're in? In fact, it'll also be interesting too, is this, what state are you in? If you want to put that in the chat room, I'll go ahead and read that on the air.
At least you can do that. I can't read the chat room people and talk at the same time. I guess I'm weird, but I'm monolithic. I'm not a multitasker.
Exactly. And we're still talking about pizza, which is okay. I like pizza, and we're talking about vegetable pizza. Pizza's good.
Vegetable pizza?
V8 with pizza? Nah.
Okay. I'm not that into vegetable pizza, believe me. I could do without that myself. But I guess it could be worse.
Yeah, they actually did have a... I think it was Papa Murphy's actually did try the s'mores pizza, which as much as I like to try crazy things, that didn't even sound appealing. You know, something about chocolate and marshmallows on my pizza is just, I mean, what type of sauce do you put with that?
Yeah, that's the thing. The sauce doesn't cut. I assume that they have a different kind of a sauce. Put a chocolate sauce with marshmallows on it, that'd be okay. But there's a limit to what you can do with tomato sauce. I mean, putting chocolate and marshmallows, so it just isn't one of the... I have real trouble stretching the limits of pizza that far.
Yeah, actually, I was corrected. They're saying that... now it scrolled down beyond me, that a pizza was ruled... If I can go back up again, it says it was ruled as a vegetable. Is that correct?
Pizza is ruled as a vegetable? No, definitely not. I don't know whether it was or not, but it shouldn't be, because there's an awful lot of things on pizza that are not vegetables.
Oh, they're saying that Papa Murphy has a dessert. It's called chocolate sauce and graham cracker crumbs on it with the marshmallows.
Well, you can have desserts and things. You know, what Papa Murphy's does is not necessarily all pizzas, believe me.
Uh-huh. Just chuckling what's going on in the chat room. Anyway.
Does somebody happen to own a Papa Murphy's franchise or something?
No, but Papa Murphy's makes good pizza. Going to have to charge him for the flick flag.
That's what I'm saying. We're giving him an awful lot of advertising here all of a sudden. I mean, assuming we have the audience that we think we do.
Yeah. Bacon.
That and bacon. Well, yeah, no, bacon is not a brand, so they could buy all kinds of bacon, I suppose. They can buy it from many different places. It doesn't have to be bacon pizza. Although that would be good, too.
Yeah.
And, you know, interestingly enough, bacon and pizza is not like the bacon that you get, you know, little strips of. It's usually a different kind of, it's a thicker bit of bacon. I guess we have to decide what is bacon or not, you know.
Yeah, actually, one of the people in the chat room just sent me a link, and it says, pizza is a vegetable? Congress says yes. What? Like, Congress, don't mess with my pizza. This is
We already know Congress has a real problem. Congress doesn't know what they're talking about, so we can forget that. It's just one more proof that Congress is in real trouble.
Yeah, this is get back now to the monitor. This one here is from MSNBC in 2011. They're saying that Congress wants to keep the pizza and French fries on the school lunch lines, fighting back against an Obama administration proposal to make school lunches healthier. The final version of the spending bill released on late Monday would unravel school lunch standards, and which includes limiting the use of potatoes on the lunch line, delaying limits on sodium, and delaying a requirement to boost whole grain. It's like, keep your hands off my pizza.
It's keep my hands off of kids' lunches. This is ridiculous. This is getting carried away. I mean, limit the amount of potatoes you can have? That's sort of stupid. Potatoes are actually lower in calories than a whole lot of other foods. And this whole business of the government deciding what is good for people to eat, it's just ridiculous. You feed them what they'll eat, what they like, what they want. And if they don't want it, they're not going to eat it. And if they're not going to eat it, what good does it do having it on the menu?
Well, like one of the programs that we did where they actually inspected one of the lunch sacks that... and they confiscated... They said the lunch was not nutritious enough for the child, so they took the lunch away that the parent made for the child and gave the kid chicken nuggets.
Right. And they're supposed to be good for you, chicken nuggets. It's just getting ridiculous. I get frustrated when I start getting on this, because there's no way we can let the Congress of the United States, 435 people, they can't make a decision on anything, especially an informed decision. So let's just give it up. Let the kids eat what they will eat, because they're not going to eat some of the crap that they try to push down their gullets in these meals, these ridiculous meals.
Oh, I agree. And even if you do give them a healthy, limited lunch, for example, they're going to find other methods or other things to do.
Well, they're going to go home and have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. To hell with it.
Well, like, and you need to do a search on the internet for this one, but they actually was doing a test program that the kids, when they picked up their lunch from the lunch line, took their plates over to a camera system along with their ID that took a picture of the food that they just picked up from the lunch line. And then when they were finished with their lunch, they had to bring the tray back, and another picture was taken along with their ID so they can determine what foods and what quantities of the foods were eaten.
Oh, geez. In my opinion, we've got to do something about all this. That's stupid. That's just absolutely the stupidest thing I've heard in a long time. Because then you just go to school and don't buy the lunch, and you don't accept the lunch. And you know, kids can go a while for without eating, and they'll just run home and eat something horrible.
Like I say, it's a matter of a control thing, too. And when you really get back down to it, my theory is, you know, with the obese problem is that I don't think that food is as nutritious as it used to be, like when you and I were growing up, because it wasn't that big of an obese problem, at least I wasn't aware of. And, you know, when you look at everything that's in the food now, or lack of, you know, if the body's not getting the nutrition, it's going to start storing fat.
I don't think that's it. Kids don't do the exercise, don't do the things that they used to do. They sit around using the computer. They sit around doing things. But it's all a combination of things. The kids that don't want to be fat don't have to be fat. Parents who make it. See, this is something that's more up to the parents, I think, than it is to the schools. Schools should offer something that is nutritious, but they don't have to eat it. And so consequently, if they don't want to eat it, they don't have to. And this, it's ridiculous. I mean, there's a point where the schools are getting way, way too involved in who and what we are than they should be. We're not, you know, back when you were talking about when kids weren't obese, they weren't teaching us reading, writing, and arithmetic. Now they're teaching us everything but reading, writing, and arithmetic. So let's change back to schools.
Well, yeah, and like you're saying about the exercise and stuff, a lot of the playground equipment has been taken away for fear of liability because somebody might get hurt.
Yeah, yeah.
And but yet they build skateboard parks.
yeah, I know. This is just ridiculous. We just, you know, the whole thing is we should just, I'm trying to say we should just quit making rules. But I guess you can't do that either. You've got to make rules, maybe.
Well, that's true. Do you want to take a chance at one more phone call?
No.
Okay. Yeah, Kitty Snapper's been holding for 7 minutes.
Nope.
Okay. Sorry, Kitty Snapper. We just had too many people calling in and just being ridiculous. So in the 15 minutes remaining of the program, we're just going to go ahead and not do phone calls for the time remaining. I do apologize, but some people feel like it's more fun to talk about
whatever.
Trying to find a nice way of putting it.
Go on. Just stop talking about it.
Just stop talking about it, except for bacon and pizza.
Well, we're getting on bacon and pizza. That's fine. Again, we're back on food. You know, who decides what is pizza? I mean, and this idea of it being a vegetable, that's the most absurd thing I think I've heard of in a long time, because pizza, I don't very often eat a vegetable pizza. I mean, pizza has vegetables on it, so... But it's got just as many meats on it as it does vegetables. So it's, you know, my favorite pizza is a meats of pizza, let's face it. So there you go. I mean, you can't decide what a pizza is. Pizza is a pizza. And if you want to call it a balanced meal, that you can do. But that depends on how you make it. And again, the individual decides what's on the pizza. So you can't make any decisions about what a pizza is.
Well, yeah.
And it can be anything. It can be absolutely anything.
That's true.
I mean, I like a seafood pizza myself.
Yeah.
I would love to have pizza with crabs and lobster and excuse me, sort of thing on it, but I don't. That's a really expensive pizza.
Crab and lobster.
Yeah.
All right, good diet.
I think there are pizzas. I remember having a pizza with stuff like that, but it was quite expensive. I don't remember where I got it.
That's funny how we got from Rodney to pizza and bacon. But,
well, we can still talk about Rodney if you want to. Because, again, I just don't think he would allow himself to be drawn into this idea of deciding for you, letting the government decide for you or whatever, what you can eat and what you can't eat. I mean, there's an awful lot of stuff that we're trying to pass laws. See, I think a lot of these laws that Obama is passing that tell you what you can do and what you can't do are going to go away. Again, I hope they're going to go away. I wish they would go away by leaps and bounds, but that's just my opinion.
Well, like I say, you know, the people put him in.
But that's they should be going in and be limited. Everything should be limited to a specific time. You know, 5 years, maybe even 10 years before you have to do it again. But they all should go away and just disappear. And maybe you could have, you know, half of them or a certain amount of them disappear each year, so that you don't have to do the voting entirely. Everything in the world just at once, but every 5 years or so, they should be completely renewed and replaced. Now, whether you replace it with the same thing or not, it's another story. But you have to make a decision to do that.
Well, I agree. Everything should be reviewed because it's too easy for them to make laws, and then we're stuck with them. I mean, we do that in Oregon a lot. Where they'll pass a law with the thinking that if you don't like it, you can go get signatures and try to get it on the ballot to fight it. You know, it's kind of, to me it seems like it's backwards. And there's been a couple times that like the assisted suicide, I believe it was, or the Death of Dignity Act, that we had to vote on it two or three times, because the first one the judge overruled it. Then we voted on again, and they said, well, you guys really don't know what you're voting for, and then we had to vote on it again to finally get it passed.
That's fine. I don't mind voting on it three times. I do mind having it put in there without voting on it at all, however. So I think we should have to vote on things several times if necessary, but we should have to vote on absolutely everything.
Well, I agree. Of course, they did try that one time, and then they were selling it well every time that the government, say, wanted to get paper for their photocopiers, that it would have to go before the vote of the people.
No, that's ridiculous. I'm talking about laws. There's no law that says you have to buy paper for your photocopier or not buy paper. We have to be responsible in that, because you can't just put absolutely everything in front of the people. But the major things, well, and then how do you decide what's a major thing? But buying paper for the coffee machine is not one.
Well, that's the example that they were doing, trying to go to the exaggeration or whatever. Again, kind of scanning my list here, North Carolina is saying that those who steal more than $1,000 worth of grease can be found guilty of a felony. If you're able to steal $1,000 worth of grease, good luck with that one.
That's steal $1,000 worth of grease.
What are you going to steal $1,000 worth of grease?
Well, is that the kind of stuff that you run your car on nowadays? Since there's some cars that run on.
No, they didn't specialize. They didn't specify. Or specialize. $1,000 worth of grease.
I mean, you know, there are rules and laws that are being put on there. For example, employers can't post job openings if they will not consider hiring someone who is unemployed. So if you're putting something on there just to advertise it, in other words, the law says you have to advertise a job, but you're going to put somebody in there who's already in your employ, or if you're not. Wow. That looked very, very logical upon reading it the first time, but the more I read it, the more it doesn't sound logical. If they will not consider hiring someone who is unemployed, they've got to consider it, but you don't have to hire someone who's unemployed. Maybe it's somebody who wants to get a better job than they had.
Well, there was a couple companies that did actually get made public that if you didn't have a job, they weren't going to consider you. and that, which is kind of stupid because a company can close, you can get laid off due lack of demand or whole other reasons, which could be a very legitimate reason that people would be looking for work.
Yeah, yeah. But on the same token, it's just, if you won't consider hiring someone who's unemployed, I agree. That's, and in Oregon, that's what's too. So upon looking at that, maybe we better leave that one alone, because you got to be able to hire, be ready to hire anyone, absolutely anyone.
Well, if they're qualified. But to strictly come out and say, okay, you currently don't have a job, we're not even going to consider you. Just like the company that, and it was a major company too, I don't remember which one it was, that got caught with that requirement. You know, they very quickly changed their mind on that, because it was. I mean, people fall on bad economic times, businesses close.
We've got an awful lot of people who are not employed that are very, very capable of being employed and should be considered.
I totally agree. And besides, you know, in a way, the businesses, in my opinion, are the losers in that too, because you could have somebody that's very qualified that could be a huge benefit to your company, and you're just going to limit to them because, like I say, I worked for a major corporation for 8 years, and one day they just came down from New York and said, as of today, we are closed, and 325 people were out of a job.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I was in California for a few years, and I was hiring people down there. And I found, however, that this was a time when a huge amount of people had been laid off and put out of work, and there was a big problem with that. And I would hire people who were very good and very well qualified and everything. The only problem is you have to be careful about people who are overqualified, because in 6 months or 8 months or whatever, they're going to find something better to go to, and they're going to leave you. So there you are back again doing it again. So it's, you know, it's sort of up to the individual as to how you do things. I mean, I went ahead and hired him because I figured in 6 months, 8 months, I could afford to go after someone else because there were still going to be more people available to work for me. And meanwhile, for that 6 or 8 months, I'm going to have a very qualified person working for me.
Well, yeah, it's all an investment. You know,
yeah.
It's an investment to the company that they hire. It's an investment to the person that they hire.
Yeah. My only problem was that if they were so overqualified, they were going to be probably bored.
In which case, that's an excuse why some people don't get hired, is they're overqualified, and just same thing.
Yeah, I've... Hello.
Hello.
I've heard help. What happened?
I don't know. You're still here?
I'm here, but the piece that I was reading just disappeared. Notepad is still up, but it's empty. It's weird.
Oh, that's all right.
I swear to God. It's this. Things are changing. I guess I should mention the fact that I put a whole new operating system on my computer and changed my computer entirely, and it's just not running the way it used to. And that little sound effect there. I haven't found where they're hiding those sound effects. I took all the weird Windows sound effects off, but when the Windows sound effects went off, it put in other sound effects, and I can't find them. They're hiding them from me. So I'll spend the next week looking for them, I guess.
So I guess when you upgraded from the Pentium.
What?
When you upgraded from the Pentium processor to your...
I still have a Pentium processor, I think. It's a four barrel kind of a Pentium processor.
Okay. Not a gun.
Well, I was thinking of a carburetor, but whatever.
Yeah. Anyways. 4 minutes remaining in the program, and it's been kind of a silly day, I guess, and talking about bacon and pizza, which we didn't plan.
Well, that's not silly at all. That's important stuff. Hey, bacon and pizza, that's important stuff, because we need to have bacon pizzas and be allowed to eat them with impunity. I mean, there should be nothing wrong with eating bacon pizzas. It should not be found on or anything else. because there should be nothing wrong with eating bacon pizzas.
Exactly. Yeah, I'll call Papa Murphy's and say, I'd like a BLT with extra cheese.
Okay. Bacon, lettuce, and tomato pizza?
Yeah.
Well,
why not?
Because when you put it, lettuce in the stove and heat it up like a pizza, it gets really ugly.
You put the pizza on the side.
Put the pizza on the side?
Never mind.
Okay, you could add it later, whatever. But you're probably not going to see that right away. Yeah. I don't know. That sounds actually like a good deal, bacon, lettuce, and tomato pizza. That actually sounds very good to me. They don't have anything like that?
Well, I don't know. I've never asked them. I suppose I could. Pizza sounds good. And with lots and lots of all-together group, bacon!
Really? I don't know. That's just, oh, well. As long as I don't have the president or the president's wife telling me what I'm supposed to eat and what I'm not supposed to eat, then I guess I'm rather upset about the president's wife saying anything.
Well, yeah, like she's qualified for anything.
Even if she was, that doesn't make it right. Well, I didn't elect her. I didn't elect her for anything. I did elect the president, but I certainly did not elect his wife to do anything, and she should not be considered for anything.
So like, what's next? If the kids are going to start passing rules and stuff? But anyway, speaking of passing, we're going to be passing on as we are. This is our first show of the year. Again, we're back in the hiatus from taking a break in December, so. Thanks to everybody that tuned in today and the callers. We do apologize that some people decided to play around.
Well, this may be why Saturdays are not good.
But, well, we'll give it a couple tries, see what happens.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But it's part of the fun. The latter part was kind of a fun show. But we'll try it again next Saturday, 1 p.m. at the time. Yeah. Yeah. Be safe.
If you like today's show, please let us know by visiting us on Facebook and clicking on the Like button. You can also get show updates on Twitter and on our website at www.krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.